There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. This is a special weekend edition podcast number 553. February 19th, 2012, of course, this is the Scott driver, Lewis Williamson. Masser, introduce this driver.
Thank you, sir. First of all, I would like to thank Lewis Williamson for his time, and also to his team's PR lady, Miss Deborah Lyle. It was arranged very quickly. And Lewis is one of those kids, you know, who come on the system, go through the system on a very fast track. And before you know who they are in Formula One. And I think that's what's going to happen with this kid. He was very successful in karting, and success just continued. First in Scottish, then in the British National Championship. Was very quick in car racing. Did very well in GP3 last year. And this year he is in World Series by Renault. And his agenda, after having driven a McLaren Formula One car, as winner of the BRDC Autosport McLaren Award, he wants to be in Formula Uno next year. And he's telling me that once he's there, established winning races all over the world, we can still Skype him and do an interview and chat with him, whether he's in Goldsby or Grenada or, you know, Jamaica. So I'm looking forward to those happy days for both of us. So once again, thank you to Lewis and Ms. Deborah. Thank you.
From the land of Jim Clark and Jackie Stewart, we have another Scottish champion in the making, Lewis Williamson. Lewis, welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you today?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Yourself?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Where do we find you today in UK, Scotland or England?
I'm back in my home village up in Scotland in the Highlands, and it's just started to rain, but as usual, up here.
I hear the weather is very nice up there at this time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, for snow, where I stay can be very good. Skiing can be very good, about half an hour from my door. And there's some really good bike trails around where I live, which is good for training. So,
great. Now, you were born in Dundee, living in Goldsby, heading for Grand Prix. Please tell us, what was your introduction to the beautiful world of motorsports?
Well, back in 1998, when I was 8 years old, my dad gave me the opportunity to start karting. You know, he wanted to get me into sport, and I followed in the footsteps of my cousin. And it started off really from there. I really started at base level and worked my way up. And the better I got, the better part I got, the better engine I got, the more money my dad would spend. And, you know, it worked from there, and then all the way till about 2008, where, you know, I was coming an age where I was starting my apprenticeship at work, and, you know, really, what do we do now? And we did a season of British Go-Kart Championships, and we won the Open Championship, the British Grand Prix Championship, the British Championship, all in the 1 year. And, you know, we set out to in a learning year, but we overdone what we thought we were capable of doing. And that really moved forward from there at the end of 2008 and 2009, with getting the opportunity to do a car race at Brands Hatch. And, you know, it was purely because of the good job I did all season. My boss said to me, boss and sponsor said to me, that I'll give you a shot of my racing car. And it went forward from there, and the first race I had, I won. And they thought to themselves, well, what do we do now? And, you know, they thought about Formula Ford, British Renault, and we went for the British Renault route, and our first season was good. We had a couple of podiums, a lot of mistakes, a lot of good times, and we learned from them. We went back the second season, and we just missed out in the championship by a couple of points. But I got asked a question at the end of that season where, you don't seem disappointed in finishing second, although you came really close. And I said, well, to be fair, I felt like I've done the best job I've could. I've given it 110%, and if you do that, then you shouldn't be disappointed. What'll be, and if you do give it your best shot, then you can't physically say you could have done any better. Yes, mistakes get made. That's just a fact of life. But it was a great season, and it went on to the McLaren Autosport Award at the end of 2010. I really went into it open-minded, and just purely going into it to be myself, act who I am, and be no different, and drive the way I've been driving all season. And it really paid off. I was very fortunate, enough to be picked for the final six, let alone win it. And it really moved on from there. And the offer started rolling in, and for the guys and the sponsors and my boss who I worked for, things really moved fast. And we all had to up our game and think about things very, very wisely and make decisions right at the right time. And since then, we haven't looked back. And GP3 last year, getting the opportunity with Christian Horner and Mark Webber's team, MW Arden, was a great opportunity to be involved with the team, and the professionalism of the team was, unbelievable. And they really pushed, we really pushed, we had some good results, and we'd done enough to go into 2012 to get the opportunity to be a Red Bull driver in World Series by Renault, and being involved with the team for simulator work at the race weekends. All these things, it's really helping me and maturing me, and I'm just trying to keep up and do the best job I can, and giving them the results,
Great. Now, going back to your karting days, you won a lot of championships in Scotland. What were some of the high points for you in the wee bit years of your karting career in Scotland? What memories do you cherish most?
For me, it was, every year it was always a goal when I was starting off karting to be picked for the Internations Championships, which is Scotland against England, against Wales, against Ireland, Southern Ireland. And out of your category that you raced on, five drivers would get picked, the best of each country. And it was always a challenge because we never really had the money to go and race against some of the British guys and in the British Championships, but we always got an opportunity at the end of the season to do it in the Five Nations. So it was always great to be involved in that. And going on to 2008 and winning the British Championships and the Scottish Championships all in the 1 year, and really maximising every opportunity that we had, that was probably the biggest highlight of my karting years,
Great. Now, talking of England, here in California, every now and then I will see a bumper sticker on a car saying, England is great, Scotland a wee bit better. Do you have that sticker on your car?
No, maybe I should get one. I haven't seen one of them.
Okay, I'll get one and mail it to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Okay, when you moved to British National Championship, it was business as usual, and that's what I think, this kid is very talented. The winning kept on going. Were you surprised at winning, even when you moved to the British National level, that it was business as usual? Was it a surprise, or you knew all along you could do it?
You're talking about in go-karts?
Right.
Yeah, it was a shock, but, there's one thing I've learned through the years is, when you do get an opportunity to do a higher level in whatever you're doing, and end up doing a good job, is to not get too high about yourself or too jumping for joy, because I feel if you do that, then you're going to get kicked down. You need to stay focused, and if you do a good job, that's great. but move on to the next one. You know, it's only races at the end of the day. The championship is the main thing in whatever you're doing, and you know, you get time to reflect that each at the end of each year. If you do a good job, then that's the time to really have a sit back and really think about the season. And you know, if you've done a good job, give yourself a pat on the back. If you haven't, then think about things and move forward. So I really just took it as another year and tried to take it as best I could in my stride in my last year of go-karting.
Very, very good philosophy. Now, I believe the year was 2008. You won the British Open, British Grand Prix Supercar, the Scottish Open, and the 125 ICC Championship. Which one was the hardest to win and which one was most satisfying?
I think for me, it was probably the British Grand Prix Championship. Because it was a close, you know, all weekend we knew the car was good. We had set some really good times, but in the heats on the roll up to the final, we got hit off. We didn't really make some great decisions in tire choice, and going into the final, I started fourth, got into the lead within the first lap, and the three carts that were at the front, one, two, and three, we broke away and we did 20 laps bumper to bumper. And to come out with a win at the end, sitting in second place, going into the last lap and, you know, getting that win and passing the guy on the last lap round the outside at a very difficult corner on that circuit was probably my greatest win.
Great, great. Not you mentioned that you won your very first motor race, and not many drivers do that in life. You did that in Formula JD from pole position. Please tell us a little bit about this series and this. What was your experience of going from karting to single seaters?
Yeah, well, I mean, getting the opportunity to do a Formula Jedi race was great, and it's very much a single seater with a lot of power. It's a 1,000cc bike engine. So the car's not slow. It's got a little bit of downforce. It's got wings. It's on slicks. And it was, you know, going into that, I was very open-minded, and going to a big circuit that I'd never even seen before apart from on TV was great. And, you know, the experience of racing in a big field of a very different age range was very good. Some very experienced guys, but some, you know, really quick young guys, and I went into it and I treated it like a kart race, and you know, moved on from there.
Great. Now the highs are very high and the lows are very low in motor racing. What was the feeling like winning both races in Formula Renault at Silverstone in front of over 100,000 people, and the feeling when you lost the 2010 championship in the final race of the season?
Well, you know, at Silverstone, going into the Grand Prix circuit, I, you know, it's one of my favourite circuits. I love that track. It's very, very technical. It's very long, and you've got to be very committed. And your technique in the high speed has got to be is very critical to getting the overall lap time. And it's something that I'm more probably better at than being on a smaller circuit with more technical stuff and slower corners. Yeah, I'm more of a balls out kind of guy who can be flat out first and, you know, ragging it and having it on the limit. And going into Silverstone, I won one frame of mind, and that was to win the race. And once I'd won the first race, I thought, right, we've got a really good chance here in the second race. We'll make sure that we go over everything as best I can, listen to the engineer, see what she thinks, and listen to my driver coach and get my mental side of me really focused. And to come away with two wins, to see the joy in my dad's face was awesome.
Talking of your dad, did he ever do any racing on his own?
No, my dad has not really got a racing background at all. My dad's just got a very big passion for me and racing, and you know, doing a good job.
Okay, great. And when you lost the championship, I believe it was to Tom Blomqvist in the final race. Did you really feel disappointed that you lost out on a big opportunity, or were you man enough to say, hey, I'll fight another day?
Well, I wasn't as disappointed as you would probably think you should be. I was happy, you know. I fought for, I had some really downs and really some real lows in that season, and to come away at the end of the year being joint on points going into the last race, knowing I was going to be really hard to beat him because he was in front of me and his teammates were in front of me. I gave it my best shot. I wasn't silly. I never did any drastic moves. I didn't hit anyone. I just did the best job I could and did it fairly. And to come out second to Tom is no shame. And, you know, after the end of that season, I got quite friendly with Tom. He's a really nice guy. I never got much time to speak to him through the season. But, it's great at the end of the year to get a chance to speak and to get to know these guys. And not at all. Wasn't disappointed. You know, through the season, I had some mistakes that really were silly and quite rookie, where I span leading the race in Brands Hatch in the wet with slicks on and ended up seventh. You know, if I hadn't span, I would have won the championship. It's as simple as that. But, you know, for me, it's about learning and moving forward.
There you go. Winning the 2010 McLaren Autosport BRDC Award is a big achievement, and then you get to drive a Formula One McLaren car. Please tell us about November 7, 2011, and a soggy day at Silverstone.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I drove down to Silverstone the day before, and I took my girlfriend down, and one of my friends who's mad for McLaren, really into F1, and his girlfriend, and when we were driving down, he was more excited to be there and to see a Formula One car start up just in front of him than I was excited. And he says, how are you not excited? You know, you're pretty calm. And I says, well, I will be tomorrow when I hear the engine starts up. You know, reality will hit then. And, you know, it was a great, great pleasure to get the opportunity to drive Lewis Hamilton's car and to drive the car that won Silverstone in 2008. And on the Grand Prix circuit, it was a great pleasure. And on that last lap when I was coming in, I knew this was my last lap. I came in and I really, really went really slow, and I just took it all in. You know, sometimes you don't get to sit back and realize what you've achieved, and pat yourself on the back if you've done a good job. So I took it in and I thought to myself, this could be my last chance ever getting to drive a Formula One car, so enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope it was the first of many, many. What was one thing that was an eye-opener for you about the F1 car? We always talk about how the braking power and the acceleration. What really got you about that machine?
For me, you know, the engine sound, the feel of the car, the braking input, it was all what you would expect a Formula One car would be. Perfect. It braked, it turned. There was nothing loose. It felt together. You felt comfortable in the car. You know, the speed is obviously massive, but the biggest thing is the braking capability. You know, I was in the wet with wets on, and you're still braking at 50 meter boards, doing, you know, maybe 170, 180 mile an hour in some bits. And the harder you hit the brakes, the quicker you stopped. And the quicker he'd get back on the power, it was pretty immense. And that for me, that was the biggest thing. The braking capability of the car was unbelievable with the downforce.
Yeah. Now, last year you were in GP3, taking a win at your favorite track, Silverstone. How big is the difference in your racing technique when you are racing a turbocharged machine compared to a normally aspirated car?
You know, for me, last season it's the thing is with the GP3 car, it's not that great, more power than a Renault. Yes, it's fast, but you know, you can't really feel the turbo as such. It's very subtle and it comes in very well. GP3 have done a great job, I feel, and it making a good car that doesn't have as much turbo lag as people would expect and very smooth running. But, you know, with using the Pirelli tyre, that is really where you need to change your driving style. You know, it's very much so brake as deep into the corners, get the car turned and rotated in the middle of the phase of the corner and power out. The car does not like to be powered through a corner. It doesn't like long durations of power through a corner because it really, really grains up the tire. The tire is very much brake and squirt out of the corner. It's a lot different from using a Michelin tire, where I'll be using this year in World Series by Renault. So, you know, I'll have to adapt back. But it's a great experience where you go out the pits and you get one lap, 1 to 1.5 laps of the tire being at peak performance, and then you get a massive drop off. So you need to learn the style of technique and for qualifying.
Great. Now, last year and this year, Mark Webber is part owner of the team you are racing with. Have you ever asked him for racing advice, or has he ever invited you for some Vegemite sandwich?
Mark's great. You know, it's very surreal when you speak to Mark. You know, he's just a normal guy. You know, a lot of people are like, oh my God, Mark Webber owns a team. It must be really cool to get to speak to him. But he comes up to you, speaks to you, he's down to earth, you just think he's a regular person. And his experience level is huge. And any opportunity that I do get to speak to Mark, whether it'll be possibly last year on a Friday or a Saturday, he'll come over and speak to all the boys within the team. You know, once he gets a minute, you know, I try my best to get as much information about him as possible. You know, not only for me, but for the guys within the team. You know, whether it'll be tire related, if they've learned anything within Red Bull that can help us, you know, going forward for a race weekend, relation to tire wear. You know, it's very important, and to get a guy of such caliber, Mark, to be able to speak to him in such a way is very, very great.
Yeah. Now, among the drivers you have raced so far in your motor racing career, who would you call as tough competitors?
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. You know, they've all been, if you're at the front and you're doing a good enough job, everyone's a hard driver. You know, different drivers have different styles. Some will be really hard and quite unfair. Other drivers will be hard but fair, and you'll be able to race with those guys, and they'll give you enough room and you'll give them enough room. But sometimes you come across people that they think there's a bigger hole than what there is, and they'll hit you. It's there's a very fine margin, and they're few between to get a driver who you can race with and trust. And you know, there's been a few lot this year and last year, but you know, I probably couldn't name them all.
Okay. Your helmet design is very nice, and the Scottish flag reminds me of DC. Are you friends with him and Sir Jackie Stewart?
I've had a few opportunities and spoke to Jackie. He was at Silverstone this last year, and I met him the year before at the Autosport Awards. It's really cool to speak to Jackie of such a person that he is, and still greatly involved in motorsport within F1, and everyone's got a lot of belief in him, and what he's saying is very correct and very, very thought about. I can relate quite a bit of stuff back to him. It's very nice. And you know, regards David, I haven't really had much of an opportunity to speak to David. I don't know him as such that well, but you know, hopefully in the future I might get the opportunity to.
Okay, good. This season we will see you in World Series by Renault, your third series in as many years. What are your pre-season expectations?
Going into this season, it's about me making sure that I'm 100%, 110% mentally sorted, 110% mentally fit, and also physically fit. I'm going into this season with one frame of mind, and it's to do the best job I can, and really excel this year, and make sure that I can give myself, and I get the opportunity at the end of the year to move forward. And I just can't wait to get in the car for the first test, and you know, really get settled back in into it, and move forward from there on in.
And what is move forward from World Series by Renault, GP2 or Formula Uno?
Formula One.
There you go. You are on the right track, young man. Okay, you are in the Red Bull program. If I may ask, did they approach you, or did you send a text message to Dr. Marco?
No, I was at work one day, and I got this phone call from a really odd number. It was like a foreign number that I'd never seen before, and I answered the phone, and it was Dr. Marco, and I wasn't 100% sure what the phone call was about, but you know, the guys, my manager, my boss, they met Dr. Marco at the end of that week, and it was very much so they approached us, and you know, things moved on from there. And since then, I've been working very closely with the team at the factory in Milton Keynes, and you know, I've been learning a lot, and I've been trying to give them what they've been expecting from me. So,
has Dr. Marco set some goals for you for 2012?
Yeah, I mean, I think to be involved with the Red Bull thing, your goals have got to be high. You know, you've got to aim for the top. You've got to aim for winning the championship. It's one of the best. It is the best young driver scheme in the world, for giving young drivers the best opportunity that might not get it without that involvement from Red Bull. And I'm so grateful to get that chance. And now it's down to me to prove myself. You know, not that I've not proved myself so far. I've obviously done something well to get the chance. It's just about moving forward from here. And really digging deep.
Fantastic. Now, here is the most important question for me and F1 Weekly, and you can take your time to answer this. Once you have moved forward and established yourself in Formula One, will I be able to Skype and do an interview with you like this?
I don't see why it would be any different from now. I don't think that would be any problem whatsoever. I mean, at the end of the day, I feel if you do get the chance to move up into F1, you're still the same person. You're not any different. You know, you're not above anyone. You're not below anyone. You're yourself, and it's all about being yourself. You know, if you do that and you go on that motto all the way up your career, when you get that chance, why change? You've been given that opportunity because who you are and the way you've approached your racing, the way you've acted, if you did get to F1, you know, and it's a very, very hard place to get to, but you know, we've all got dreams and we've all got to work towards them. And you never know what's around the corner. If the dream comes true, then great. If it doesn't, well, you know, maybe you just need to work harder.
Well, Lewis Williamson, you are the man, and I like what you just said. Thank you. Okay, question for you. What is your favorite racing track? And in Formula One today, who do you like as the driver?
For me, phone's just going off. Silverstone's a great circuit. I really like that for racing and winning there. But you know, also a circuit I really liked this year was Turkey. You know, Istanbul. Mm-hmm. I really liked that circuit. But for me in F1 at the moment, it's got to be Sebastian Vettel. You know, the guy is immense. He's absolutely unbelievable. You know, regardless what people throw at him, regardless of what circuit they're on, he always pulls it out of the bag. All the time. It's like he flicks a switch. And it just shows you that there's someone in the sport completely taking it to a new level. And this is a new level that he's setting for, you know, new guys hopefully to get that opportunity. So it's great to be involved in Red Bull and, you know, some days get the opportunity to speak to Sebastian.
Great. Now, we do our show from California. Have you ever been to the United States, and do you follow American racing scene?
No, I've never been to the United States. I mean, I was actually just speaking to my girlfriend last night, and she was saying that she'd love to go to California and look about, you know, the West Coast quite a bit. That's always, you know, that's always a dream for me to do something like that. So I would love to sometime in the next few years to get that chance. And, you know, last year I tried to follow as much IndyCar as I could. You know, it was a great sport. There was a lot of tragedy within the sport last year. But you know, the way everyone approached it and the way everyone acted within the things that happened last year was very, very good and very professional. And you know, I'll never rule out the opportunity to do racing in the USA. You know, for me, it's about being professional within the sport, no matter what that is. And you never know.
Well, I have a deal for you and your girlfriend. Our palatial studios are not too far from San Francisco. So if you are ever in San Francisco area, fish and chips or Chinese food is on F1 Weekly.
Awesome.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Now, Lewis, it's great chatting with you. Thank you so much, and thank you for Deborah for arranging this. Finally, tell us a little bit about Lewis Williamson, the young man, not the race car driver, your taste in music, what kind of food you like, and what non-motorsports events you enjoy watching on telly.
For me, you know, I'm just a regular guy. I like being at home. I'm very into my cars. I've got a Mitsubishi Lancer Evo, and I'm very, very much so involved with, you know, some of the guys that I'm really close and friendly with. They're into motorsport, they're into car shows. I like going to some of the car shows and seeing some of the cars, road cars that have been done up, modified cars and looked after, and people have been, I'm very into that. And you know, I like a lot of mountain biking, a lot of downhill mountain biking, and you know, when I'm home I try to do as much as I can with that, with my fitness, and you know, just chill out and be normal. You know, it's very, very rarely through the season that you get that chance to chill out and just be a normal person and just shut off from the racing world. So at this time of the year, I'm just doing my own thing away up here in the Highlands of Scotland, training away to ready to just be unleashed at the start of the season.
Okay, finally, how about a message for our listeners? We have listeners all over the world. Would you like to say something to them, please?
For me, it's anyone that's going to be watching this season, whether it'll be F1 or World Series or GP2, GP3. You know, I've been keeping a close eye on everything, and you know, it's going to be a good season. You know, it's probably going to be even better from last year for the side of motorsport. You know, a lot of drivers are moving about teams, a lot of drivers are moving about into different series, and you know, F1 this year is going to be really good, really interesting. You know, it's going to be a bit different with no hot blowing within the cars, and it's going to be very action-packed, and yeah.
Okay, Lewis, thank you so much. I know it's time for you to head to the gym, so I'll let you go. Thank you once again, and all the best.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Lewis, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport. A blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.